Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, welcome to Prospect House, home of Archon. We've found ourselves a nice quiet little spot because it gets quite noisy at lunchtime, doesn't it? People going in and out on a Friday afternoon, so this is where we quite often film or record the podcast. Hopefully the sound quality will be all right, but normally, of course, 1 o'clock on a Friday, there is Norwich City press conference, but with the game being on a Sunday this week, the schedule for the team has been a bit different. Basically a day off for the team today. Some of them, of course, will have treatments and things like that. They'll be in with the physio and bits and pieces. We thought we'd do a Facebook Live a little bit earlier than we normally would on a Friday. Of course, Paddy Davitt alongside me, Dave Freezer, and I thought we should probably have a quick look back at the Reading game to start with.
Why not?
2-2. It was a bit mad, wasn't it?
Mad finish, yeah, no two ways about it. It would take a little bit of time to process, but... I think time has passed now. Obviously, you and Michael were down there at Colney and spoke to Daniel yesterday, and it sounded like the closure had come overnight, but certainly on the night, yeah. Anybody who was there or anybody who has subsequently seen the highlights for 86 minutes looked like it's going to be one of them frustrating nights. Then to score as they did in such fashion, and the scenes, the celebrations around Farker in the dugout, they would have gone down for me alongside probably Derby the season they went up under Lambert, Simeon Jackson. They were that epic.
It was.
And unfortunately rolled on, as I said to Daniel straight after the formal press conference had finished, that they were actually penalised by the 6 minutes of added on time when Reading were rightly time wasting. The keeper got booked, didn't he? You wanted as much extra time added on, but given it took 97 minutes before Reading equalised, that it's a shame that when Norwich got 2-1 in front, they put about 2 minutes up on the board. That would have been a suitable punishment for Reading, I think. But as it was, you have to play to whenever the whistle blows. And what I would say, though, I mean, I've seen it back now on the TV, that was a very, very tidy finish from Renan Marta.
It was, yeah. He took it well.
He did, because there was a very small gap as Tom Trouble came across, if you look at it from behind the goal. So, yeah, you do have to appreciate that, given it was effectively the last kick of the game. That was a very, very cool finish from that young man. But, yeah, I mean, the reality is now, looking at a distance, 6 and 7 points to Leeds and Sheffield, respectively, with 5 to go, that's a very, very healthy situation. It's just if they could have hung on, added another 2 to that equation, then really you could start to think, and I think Daniel said to you guys yesterday, didn't he, that would have almost been a champagne moment if they'd have managed to make it 9 wins on the spin. But, you know, me personally, actually, without wanting to sound wise after the event, I did feel all sort of through Wednesday afternoon that could be a very slippery affair, and the type of game you get on these run-ins. And that's why it's kind of stands out, because up to this point they've been unbelievably consistent. You know, 8 wins on the spin at this stage with this much pressure was a phenomenal achievement. So albeit you wouldn't want it to end in quite such a dramatic way, it didn't surprise me that one of these games on this running now was that type of very, very difficult. Anything we do doesn't seem to quite come off. We might have to accept it's not our night.
Yeah, you couldn't. They weren't just going to coast there with 14 wins on the spin, were they?
No.
That was very unlikely to happen. Apologise if I was a little bit distracted right at the start. I think we might have lost connection briefly as we were starting. So just to repeat, there's no Norwich press conference today, so we thought we'd do the Facebook Live now. And please do get your questions and comments in. There's a few dropping already. But yeah, just finally on the Reading game, it almost felt like a defeat in the end, didn't it? Because the atmosphere, it just went from a worrying atmosphere to such a high to then a low. I mean, listening to
Radio North's commentary again of the goals, you can hear the groan in the ground. Everyone just like, oh no.
Yeah.
You know, they literally had one foot in the Premier League at that point, didn't they? And we all know, fingers crossed, they're so good away from home. They get back on track on Sunday at Wigan and we won't forget about it. But in that moment in time, it just felt like you said, like the Simeon Jackson moment against Derby had been snatched away. Yeah. We would have talked about that Reading game for years and years, about Christoph Zimmermann's captain's header that basically fired Norwich to promotion. That was all just snatched away and it was cruel. But Daniel did put on a good face yesterday. I felt like by the time we got through the press conference, his shoulders had dropped a little bit and he'd really talked it all through, and obviously he had behind the scenes with the players and his coaching staff, and it felt like when you were at Colney that they, well, certainly from Daniel, that they can't wait to get back out on the pitch.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't they? And of course we'll get into it in a bit more detail, but the volume of support, you know, 5,300 fans making that trek on a Sunday morning, middle of the night for some, no doubt. How could that not inspire them when they run out? And then you weave around it the actual context of what they're trying to achieve and how close they are to it. Yeah, I could literally from the final whistle midweek that they would be desperate for this game to come around. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a few comments flying in already. So Rhys Griffin asks Cantwell to start on Sunday. Asked Daniel about how he thought Todd had played, and he was pretty happy with him. Thought he was pretty creative, with the sort of caveat that it's difficult to come in from the cold and try and... He was never going to hit the standards of Emi Buendia straight away, was he? That would have been a big ask. But he was pretty happy. So I almost got the feeling that Todd may well get the nod again.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything less, because that's kind of consistent with Farke and his selection policy.
Yeah.
For me, the other night, it was simply a case, I felt, of that game was running away from him. Everything they seemed to be doing wasn't having the desired effect, so he had to change it, and he did. He brought Rhodes on and he went to a three at the back, and unfortunately in that repositioning of the whole approach, Todd was, you know, the guy who had to make way. I don't think it was a reflection per se on the fact that he came very close in the first half for that sort of half volley. Oh, just cleared the bar. I don't think he was any better or any worse than any of the other creative players. I think it was just, it facilitated Rhodes getting onto the pitch and throwing it forward as for Sunday's selections. Yeah, I think it's same again, because again, that's entirely in keeping with how Farke sets it and has set up his teams in recent weeks.
I actually thought he played better than Hernandez, and it was more a formation thing, wasn't it? That he wanted to get, because they were playing five at the back, that Daniel wanted to get two up front. Maybe that was a little bit of a failing in the way they set up. Daniel wanted to stick to that formation, which has been so successful, they just couldn't quite unpick it. And Steepman had a funny old game as well, didn't he? Of course,
he did.
Sort of involved in both of their goals in a bad way, but then he set up Godfrey for the other one. So,
he did, yeah.
Yeah, an interesting one for Todd, but he needs to take his chance, really, obviously. I can't see him getting too many. And of course, Emmy will be back at Stoke, won't he?
I mean, the reality is, subject to no injuries between now and then, Buendia will be playing at Stoke.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Flowing onto that perfectly, Ben Trafford, are we concerned about the stat of not winning without Emi? This is something Michael's noticed, isn't it? That they haven't won a game without Buendia in the team so far this season.
Well, league. 25 league in wins, league, and he's played in every single one of them. But, it is what it is. But why would you be concerned about it? It's just another quirk that they need to eradicate. Reality is that stat is there because Buendia, when he was fit and available, starts most games. So, you know, you could say maybe the same to lesser degree to Pukki, to whoever. You know, Jamal Lewis has played 37 league games, so the majority of Norwich's league wins he's been involved in as well. So no, it fits the narrative of how important Emi Buendia is, but as Daniel said to us prior to Reading, nobody is irreplaceable in this squad. But that said, you know, it's a little bit like being on the right side of the Derby sort of scenario at the minute, isn't it, in terms of unbeaten games in that fixture. But no, why would you be worried about it? There's nothing you can do about it now. He's unavailable for two games, so it's up to others to step up. But let's be honest, 75% possession midweek and 20 odd shots on goal, they had more than enough chances, even though it was a frustrating night, to have won that game. So it's not that without Buendia they weren't as creative. I mean, it didn't feel quite as seamless, but that's a lot of that was down to Reading. You know, you come and you sling five across your back line and then four in front of them. It's a very difficult scenario to break down.
I think there are very few players in the Championship who are in Buendia's class. You're probably talking Grealish at Villa, Hernandez at Leeds, who are sort of capable of that kind of creative force. I mean, what Todd didn't quite manage was to sort of find those pockets of space around the edge of the box, did he? But what Daniel, similarly to that Buendia stat, he was armed with a stat in that Cantwell is one of the highest performing players in terms of points to starts. So, but that's going to be the same for Buendia and Aarons, isn't it? Because the team changed after that bad start to the season, after that 3-0 Leeds defeat. Of course, it was the Cardiff Cup game that was so influential, and that Ipswich away game is when we first started to see the team come together, didn't we? With Steepman in the attacking midfield role. So, Dan Mayhew says on the Reading game, even though it's disappointing we drew, what I would say is in previous years we would have lost the game. Adie Sedgwick, hi guys, hi Adie, hope all is well. Do you think there will be any changes on Sunday? In my opinion, Cantwell is not strong enough in midfield. I think Leitner or Vrančić may be coming Sunday. What do you guys think? I mean, I think we've probably pretty much answered that. But again, Mo Leitner's body language on the sidelines. I know we're all very much firmly on the promotion sort of push here, and everyone.
What did you see, though?
Unity and team spirit and all these words. But Mo Leitner doesn't look happy to me. His body language looks frustrated.
As it would be, because he wants to be playing games, doesn't he? But, you know, I wouldn't read too much into that. He clearly understands there's a bigger picture at play. And why wouldn't you? It's the same as when a player gets substituted and they're not happy. You kind of want that on one level. You don't want it to go to the Nelson Oliveira throwing shirts down and showing disrespect. No, but by the same token, you don't want them just to shrug their shoulders and say, all right, you know, I'm not bothered. So I'd much rather have that end of the scale than disinterest.
Okay. Bev Black, hi from Morrison's car park in Dereham. There you go. You know, we sometimes get Australia, New York, but Morrison's in Dereham, like it. Still thinking positive and wish I was going Sunday. The London Stadium I visited Wednesday, oh yes, was great. Already picked my seats out for next season. Come on, you yellows. Yes, Bev, you commented the other day, didn't you, that you were going to the London Stadium, and of course that would be a great away day if Norwich can seal the deal, but they need to get the win on Sunday to make sure we can start talking about all that. All of a sudden, those questions since Wednesday night, everyone's thought, right, let's leave those questions for now, shall we? Because you just can't tempt fate. Let's not tempt fate in any way. The Premier League is firmly parked until they get at least one more win on the board. Lorne, NCSC, Smyther, well, let's hope we get a referee that can make the right calls, not a pro-Leeds one. Okay, well, the one thing we can say with away games, Norwich have won 5 of their last 6. So what? Millwall, Leeds, Rotherham, Borough, Bolton. So we can all travel in great heart to win. We know they're good at home, but Norwich have cracked the away code, haven't they?
Yeah. I don't know the breakdown of home versus away, but Wigan have lost 20 league games this season. 20 league games. Norwich have got twice as many points.
Only 4 at home in those.
Yeah. Mm.
For Wigan.
Only 4.
They've only lost 4 at home.
So they've lost 16 away. Right. Well, if you're arming me with that stat, then it's slightly more concerning. But it tells me that is a team who are used to losing games. So that you ally that with Norwich's prowess on the road. It won't be any more difficult than Middlesbrough away, surely, in terms of what they'll face, that aggressive, in-your-face pressing, the physical element as well, you know, the long throws and so on and so forth. And let's be honest, Middlesbrough have got better players than Wigan. So if Norwich could resist and then find a winner and then hold on at Middlesbrough, then I've got no fears whatsoever they can do the same at Wigan. They know how it's going to be now. You know, Reading and QPR to a much lesser degree are not taking Norwich on at a game of football. They know they can't probably match them in terms of the style of play. So they're going to try and make life as uncomfortable as possible. And in that respect, what Norwich faced against Reading, that's a pretty good, almost battle-hardening exercise going to Wigan, because I'd imagine it'll be more of the same on Sunday.
They've only conceded 19 goals in those 20 league games. They've won 9 of them, drawn 7. So they keep things tight. When you look at those results, they certainly keep things tight. But they've beaten Villa, West Brom and Bristol City on their own turf. So they're decent, but I think most of those were first half of the season. They've only won 1 of the last 11 in all competitions. So you know, maybe it's a half-decent time to play. But Neil Luther says, Reading came with a plan and it nearly worked. Full compliments to NCFC in continuing to work and nearly get the rewards. And yeah, that it is going to be quite a similar game, isn't it? Because Reading set up to frustrate Norwich. And to be fair, I know on the balance of play, Norwich did deserve the win in terms of possession and the amount of chances. But when you compare what Reading were like to QPR on Saturday, you have to say fair play to them, because they showed a great deal of spirit, didn't they? They turned up, and like Neil says, they had a plan and it worked.
100%, yeah. And I mean, we happen to know one of the guys, I think I might have said this, if not on the Facebook, I've said it somewhere in the last few days, that there is a real togetherness around what Gomez has got there at Reading now, that those players have bought into him. And we had some anecdotal evidence from somebody who sort of is in and around that camp, and that was clearly the major difference between them. QPR just turned up, they've got a caretaker manager, all the players don't know whether they're coming or going, and they were basically a rabble, two down after 12 minutes. Whereas Reading clearly believe they've got the makings of a reasonable side, and Daniel said it pre-match, said it again post-match. He thinks they are, possession-wise, as good as anything in the division. And you could see, you drop an Oliveira who's motivated into that lineup, then for next season, they've got something to build on, because they do have decent players. And they certainly have got a fighting spirit. I mean, that was the perfect template for them, because they were able to soak, frustrate. But they, crucially, had the pace on the counter with Barrow and Mate. And if you've got that, then, unfortunately, as Norwich found out, then you've always got a threat, and it might only be one or two forays. But let's not forget, they had a great, as well as the first goal they scored, the second half, Mate could have scored again, and then the game would have been probably beyond Norwich.
Probably should have.
At 1-0, you know. So they had the ammunition to carry out that type of approach, whereas maybe QPR didn't quite and didn't believe in it either. Whereas, you know, from a distance, Wigan looked like Paul Cook's quite a charismatic type of manager. It's the sort of manager I think players like to play for. And they knew from the outset, as soon as they got promoted, that this season was about staying up, and that will be the sum total of their ambition. And as it stands, they're outside the bottom three, so, you know, they're on course to probably hit their target. But I would be more inclined to think that this will be another Reading type affair, certainly in the early stages. What would change, of course, is if Norwich could get their noses in front, and you'll say they don't give up many goals at home, but one thing you know about this Norwich team, they do, even when they're not quite at it, they will create chances. So what I hope is Pookie's back in the groove, because midweek, you know, he could have had three or four, and it just, for me, confirms that he looks a little bit leggy, and maybe in mind as much as body, that maybe the workload has taken its toll a little bit, and he's not quite at the levels he was before, because the last month or so of football, if he'd have had those chances when he was at the peak of his powers, he'd probably be on 30 goals now.
Too much sparkling water at the EFL Awards and cucumber. I like this one from Andy Robb. If Todd had scored, he would have been a hero. Give one of our own a break. And that's a good point. You mentioned already that volley which flew just over the bar. If that goes in, you know, that, well, you could argue that would change the complexion of Todd's career, given the contract stuff in the background. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if he does stick with him. You mentioned Paul Cook there, some quotes from him already at pinkham.com. He does remind me of Paul Warren to a certain extent. He's got that really likable character, hasn't he? And his players are firmly behind him. They won the League One title last year, didn't they? So his quote along the lines of was, we're in deeper waters now, and in deeper waters there's bigger fish, and those bigger fish can eat you. So I think it's difficult, isn't it, when you come up as a promoted team and you're used to winning games. When you then start losing a lot, it's quite tough. But they have got one of their players was in the team of the season, wasn't
he? Reece James
on loan from Chelsea. Yeah. Really, really highly rated prospect.
Absolutely.
I think they've been pushing him into midfield. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach it, really, because what we've got, we're going to travel tomorrow night, aren't we? We're staying over, so that not too far from Wigan, so that, you know, we can get to the ground. We normally need to be at the ground a couple of hours before, basically. The team will train at Colney tomorrow, and they travel up in the afternoon to make sure they get a good night's sleep ahead of the match. But of course, we're going to have the two games during the day to keep an eye on, aren't we? Sheffield United at home to Millwall, and then Leeds got a big game against Sheffield Wednesday at Elland Road on the telly. So we're going to travel so that we can listen to that at the same time while we travel up there tomorrow evening. How do you see those two games? I mean, both favourites going into them?
Well, you know, I don't think, again, I'd have to go back and check, but it feels like there hasn't been a weekend in the last month or so where both of those have both won, whether it be the same time or the same day, or one played Saturday, one played Sunday, one played Friday, whatever. I don't think there's been a match weekend where it feels like both Sheffield and Leeds have done the business. So for me, it's probably going to be more of the same. You have to fancy Sheffield United to get a better Millwall at Bramall Lane. A very good day, as Norwich found out. But Leeds against Sheffield Wednesday, I wouldn't rush to put too much money on a Leeds home win. I think Sheffield, albeit they had a bit of a setback there last weekend when it looked like they were just coming with a late run for the playoffs, you know, Villa won at Hillsborough. But again, we're talking about building for next season with Reading. I think Steve Bruce will be looking at these remaining games as maybe confirmation about some players or what he needs to add. So, you know, setting aside, as I've seen on the Sheffield Star website, you know, like Blades fans in an impossible position this weekend because they basically want Sheffield Wednesday to do them a favour.
Oh, yeah.
But setting aside that, I think for Steve Bruce and the Sheffield Wednesday players, they would love nothing better than to go to Leeds and put a spoke in their wheel because, you know, it is a Yorkshire derby, let's not forget. So, yeah, I think that's a tough one for Leeds. I did watch a lot of the Preston game midweek, and prior to the sending off, there was nothing in that game. Preston had a man sent off, and then obviously Bamford got a couple of goals, but they looked like a very nervy team to me. And as Norwich proved at Elland Road, if you go there and you can impose yourselves on them, that home crowd can get very fractious. Sheffield United did it as well. So I think they're probably a better team away from Elland Road at the minute. So for me, yeah, I think Sheffield United will do the business, but maybe a draw at Elland Road, which would kind of then leave the door again open for Norwich to lay down another marker and just pull even further clear on Sunday.
Millwall have certainly picked up recently as well. They're 2 points off. They're one of those teams who are 2 points above the relegation zone, so clearly they need to get something at Bramall Lane if possible. I mean, an interesting aspect is called Sheffield Wednesday. So let's talk worst case scenario. Sheffield United win, Leeds win.
So it's 3 and 4.
So it'd be 3 and 4 points.
Yeah, at kickoff.
And to further the worst case scenario, Norwich lose at Wigan. Then, of course, that whole automatic promotion
race. This
is getting
a bit depressing, isn't it?
Well, just to play devil's advocate almost. Equally.
So going into Easter, there'd be 3 points clear.
Yes.
About four of Sheffield.
And if Leeds beat Sheffield Wednesday, their playoff hopes are basically over then, aren't they? They have got to beat Leeds to have any chance of getting top six. So, you know, that would make the Sheffield Wednesday game look. My point is, it is the business end of the season, isn't it? And
yeah.
I did ask Daniel about whether the players are, whether he allows the players to watch these games. The Leeds game is going to be on telly. They'll presumably be in their hotel by that point. And he said, you know, it's up to them. He trusts them. He trusts that they've got the mental strength to know that the only thing they can do is focus on winning their game and beating Wigan. So I thought that was an interesting little insight. Do you think you'd watch Leeds if you were a Norwich player?
Yeah, I think I probably would have it on. Yeah, just more out of curiosity than anything else. But I mean, you would say Norwich have been very, very good at putting the blinkers on and not worrying too much about, because of the nature, mainly driven by the TV schedules, is it's kind of every weekend feels there's no unanimity. It's not all three of them are kicking off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. The two games either side of this last international break, Norwich kicked off after both those teams did the business. Last weekend, they got their blow in first. They won at lunchtime against QPR. So it feels like that's not materially impacting on Norwich in any sense, and whether that's watching the games or not watching the games. As Daniel said, I think it was when Leeds played Sheffield and Norwich were at Rotherham that day, and he was asked on the Friday, what's the most important result this weekend? He said Norwich winning at Rotherham.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so why would that be any different this weekend? You know, if Norwich, the reality is now, as we see here today, it's 6 and 7. So if Norwich continue to pick up points, ideally wins, doesn't matter what the other two do, does it?
That's the mindset. They're promoted, aren't they?
Absolutely, that's got to be the mindset.
So, yeah, got to travel confidently. Lorne Smypert says, you see loads of pundits all in favour of Leeds for champions, and only the few on our side, that includes the referees we have had. And Lincoln has an interesting theory from the Reading game. There was a serious lack of ball boys / girls on Wednesday, and Reading took advantage of that.
That is a very interesting take.
I can't say I noticed that one, to be honest. I mean, there was a...
Why would there be any less than any other game?
There was an incident where one of the Norwich fans in the south stand took a while to get the ball back into play, didn't he? And everyone sort of shouted at whoever that was. Couldn't see from our side of the pitch whether they just couldn't physically get the ball out of their seat or whatever in time, or whether they were just hanging on to it. But okay. I can't say I noticed ball boys especially. And same from Lorne as well. I'm setting off from Middlesbrough and picking my son up in Darlington at 8 a.m. Lovely. And the
people, 5 a.m. No, the coaches.
Well, he's in Middlesbrough. So, but the coach is 5 a.m. Yeah. That's fair play. 5,300 Norwich fans. I can't wait to see that. I hadn't recalled that so many had made the journey to Wigan on the opening day of the Premier League season back in 2011.
Yeah, that was full, yeah.
That was 4,000, just sort of 4,500. So we know that they don't fill their stadium. They're probably going to... I think Leeds took like 7,000, but it's going to be a
7,000?
Yeah, because Wigan basically need to sell the tickets, don't they? you know, rugby league town. I can't wait to see what that yellow wall looks like. James Balls, not watching from somewhere as exotic as Morrison's, but high from Durham. Andy Robb, flying in from Dubai tomorrow. That's more like it. We're getting more and more exotic.
Ends with D.
Durham, Durham, Dubai. Of course, we'd all rather be in Durham. The centre of Norfolk, as Mr. Ian Clark would, I'm sure, tell us. Yeah, Andy says...
Dominic got off on a tangent. I had some friends around for dinner last week, and I'm pretty sure they said that Dereham Tesco is geographically the centre of Norfolk.
I don't know Dereham that well. We'll need to check with this with Mr. Clark, because he's Mr. Dereham. But I think there's actually a plaque, isn't there, in the car park.
Oh, is there?
And says,
okay.
This is the centre point of Norfolk.
There you go.
But yeah, it was certainly the centre point during the World Cup, with that rowdy pub where Michael was trying to avoid getting covered in beer during our Facebook lives. So Andy's flying in from Dubai for the Wigan game. The game will be an epic day for City. Fingers crossed. David Brett, when his suspension is over, do you think Buendia will be straight back in the side?
Definitely.
Short of Todd Cantwell or Mario Vrancic scoring goals and dramatically influencing the games, I would be shocked. Somebody is going to lose their place. He is essentially Norwich City's best player at the moment, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Worth a lot of money.
He makes things happen, and those players, you know, are worth their weight, aren't they? Particularly at this stage of the season when it's very tight and tense. Just go back to the Swansea game, which I see that goal he scored is nominated for a goal of the month, isn't it, now, for March?
Which one? That's the one he spanked in against
Swansea. Left foot smack, But, I mean, in terms of not just the majestic nature of that goal, but in a game that was seesawing and for long spells, Norwich, this is looking a bit behind the sofa type of a watch. Just moment of magic, 3 points, happy days. And that's what he brings. And, as I say, there's not too many of those in this squad.
There is going to be some competition for goal of the season with Norwich this year. I mean, Godfrey, the other night, the speed that hit the net.
You almost might need to do an individual category of goal and then the team, because I mean that first goal against Sheffield United at Carr Road, that was a thing of beauty.
Best goal and most spectacular goal, perhaps.
Why not?
It's going to be a cracking competition because I mean Emmy's got quite a few. I can't even remember them all off the top of my head because there have been, you know, it's double figures certainly that would be in contention for goal of the season, whereas last year, Josh Murphy's one against Villa was pretty clearly the winner, wasn't it? Houston the season before that for that volley against Forest.
That was spectacular.
I'm looking forward to putting that poll together when it happens. I'm sure it will not be too far away. Craig Brooks, hi fellas. Should Farke make changes for Sunday? What's going on with Tetti and any news of us seeing Heiser? As far as we know, Tetti's fit and Heiser we were never expected to see much of, were we?
Well, no, I mean, that was a deal that should have happened this summer. Circumstances allowed them to do it a bit earlier, but I think the way it's playing out now, it's very much, instead of coming in the summer and acclimatising, let's have this as your acclimatisation period, get to know your new surroundings, your new teammates, the football club in general, and then hopefully it's when they're in the Premier League, but when he comes back for pre-season, he needs to crack on straight away.
Okay. Rita Wise says, we have the best supporters ever. Come on, you yellows. And Steve Chick, Norwich need to start at a faster pace than they did against Reading. The pace was pedestrian for the first 30 minutes. I mean, he's probably got a point there, isn't he? Maybe pedestrian's a bit hard.
Yeah,
but
to a degree, yeah. I mean, I thought they were reasonably bright for the sort of first 5 or 10 minutes. And then because they didn't get that breakthrough, Reading sort of began to believe in what they were trying to do and then started to fill holes a bit more effectively. And then it did go into a prolonged lull, didn't it, really? And, you know, apart from, I think there was, prior to their goal, obviously, there was the Cantwell chance. I think there was one or two Pookie chances. But, yeah. But, I mean, I was, to be fair, that is a fair point in the sense of, I think, half-time I was tweeting they didn't need to move the ball quicker. The tempo had to be better because once you get an entrenched defensive line, it's very hard to move them around if your lateral passing is not quick enough.
Yeah. And there's a few more comments which flow onto that nicely, actually. Hi, guys. Wendy Little says, hi, guys. we really missed Emmy on Wednesday. Do you think Leitner will start, or maybe Mario at Wigan? And I'm in yucky Ipswich with a yellow and green heart. Patrick Bailey, we had a lot of possession against Reading, but seemed short on creativity. Do we really miss Buendia that much? And Simon Palmer, if players like Leitner and Todd had been given 15 to 20 minutes at the end of previous games, they would be sharper to start in games like Reading, earlier subs, dot, dot, dot. Again, that's a fair point, isn't it?
That is a fair point, yeah.
But equally, they were very, very close to winning a ninth game on the spin.
They were.
So, you know, I don't think Daniel Farker really comes in for much criticism, does he?
but on the substitutions, that is a fair point, because by no stretch would you say, okay, QPR aside, no stretch would you say these last stretch of games have been comfortable watches where the game was done, dusted long before the end. And in those contexts, he obviously felt, no, I'll keep it as it is, and got the results that way. But there is, I think, certainly an argument for Leitner and Vrančić to have seen a bit more action,
yeah.
And particularly in games that were very tight and tense. And you could argue maybe physically some of the players who were out on the pitch who've had a lot of football, because he's kept the side effectively the same, maybe they're looking a little bit weary. As I said right at the start, I think Pukki is looking a little bit weary, but I'm not advocating taking him off anytime soon. But you know, I think some of the midfielders, definitely you could have rotated a little bit more than he has done.
Yeah, and Pukki did score two on Saturday, didn't he? One of them was a gimme, but the second was a cracking finish, wasn't it? Interesting question from Stuart Cousins. Have Norwich ever been promoted and Ipswich been relegated from the same league in the same season? I don't think so. Clearly, Norwich have been relegated from top flight campaigns when Ipswich have been doing well, you know, in the 70s and things like that. I remember being at Cardiff in 2002 for the playoff final when Ewan had put Norwich ahead in it, extra time. I remember the Norwich fans singing, "Are you watching Ipswich Town?" because they'd been relegated that weekend from the Premiership. But no, because I mean, Ipswich haven't been down to the third tier for a long, long time, have they? So it would seem unlikely, but you never know. The stars might align, and it both are sealed on the same day. I think Ipswich could get relegated this weekend.
Absolutely,
but it would need all the results to go, wouldn't it? So maybe unlikely this weekend.
I think probably Easter again is looking like the potential sort of swing weekend.
Neil Luther, the nice thing for me is Leeds and Sheffield United are having to battle each other for second, so the focus is off Norwich. We just need to do what we've been doing all season. We haven't actually said, but Daniel did say no fresh injury worries. Marcus Stiepermann, a bit of a knock, but should be fine for Sunday. Just a few bumps and bruises in terms of three games in 8 days, really. So that nothing to be concerned with. It's just Wendy's suspension, isn't it? Jamie Brett, as brilliant as we are and when, in capital letters, we get promoted, we need to play for two halves and not just one. The game will be dead and buried in the Premier League if we turn up just in the second half. Well, let's hope we can have those conversations. Inga Belli, Srebeni to score the goal to get us promotion.
That's a big call.
He was on the bench the other night, wasn't he?
He was.
Whether he will stay there, I don't know. I mean, he's not played much football for a while. I am surprised he hasn't played more the under-23s player, Kairo Tanai against Borough. I'm surprised he's not played some in that.
That does strike you. Particularly at home 23s games when there's no real travel involved. I mean, as you say, they're today nominally off and then back in tomorrow. Why couldn't he have 45 minutes tonight, like a session tomorrow? Because with the greatest will in the world, unless something happens to Pukki and Rhodes between now and Sunday lunchtime, he's not getting a game, is he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that does strike me as, again, something that probably could have been looked at in terms of, but they, you know, they would feel that he's getting enough miles in his legs on the training pitch. And you can't really argue, because, as I say, you touched on it there, at this stage of the season, senior players, clean bill of health, phenomenal job by the City's physios and sports science people.
Absolutely. I've just checked, Ipswich can get relegated tomorrow. Comment was from, I've lost it because Facebook's moved, there it is, Mark Mitchell, we're all supporting Birmingham tomorrow, aren't we? And indeed, if Ipswich lose at home to Birmingham, they will only have 12 points to play for, and they will be at least 14 adrift. So we'll be saying goodbye to Ipswich and Ball Lambert very shortly, which I'm sure plenty of Norwich fans will enjoy. Just last few comments, and then we'd better crack on.
George needs a shout out. Where George is watching from?
Hello from New Zealand. 12:40 a.m. 13th of April.
Fair play.
He's already in tomorrow. George Woods, thanks for joining us, George. We've got a 12-page Pinken tomorrow in print. If you still like to go old school and buy your papers, like many people still do. So if you're going to be one of those many thousands on the coach, perhaps get your copy and make sure you have a good read on the way up to the game on Sunday. Charlotte Dawes says, so relieved for a point. I think it was a huge space for Campbell to fill. I think we needed the creativity from Vrančić in the second half. He did sort of play a role in Godfrey's, didn't he? Not particularly spectacular, but he set Godfrey going forward, didn't he? That was some goal. Matthew Rushbrook, you both seem confident, brackets rightly, that promotion should be a formality. But which game does your gut instinct think promotion will be sealed?
You think Blackburn, don't you, mate?
I'm thinking Blackburn, the home game, Saturday, which has been moved to 7:30, isn't it?
I'm going to go optimistically and say a win at Stoke.
I mean, I hope so. The sooner the better, of course, from our point of view, as well as everyone else, as well as, of course, Norwich's. But it would be nice for promotion to come at Carrow Road.
Yeah.
I can't. It's going to be difficult to stop fans being nervy if there's that possibility. So it would come down to the players and just to hopefully as much noise as possible. But how special would it be to get promoted to Carrow Road?
Yeah, somebody was telling me, have they actually ever won promotion at Carrow Road? I think you're going back
not to
many
the top flight. No, I don't think
many a year. So yeah, I mean that would be an historic occasion, and you would do well to get a ticket for that game.
Absolutely. Oh. And the photos are just. Can't wait. It'll be brilliant.
Football to be played yet, mate?
Exactly, yeah. Sunday. Just got to win Sunday. Andy Robb, looks like all the hotels in Wigan will be full of yellow and green Saturday night. I'm staying in the Holiday Inn near the ground. Where's the rest of the front guard staying? We're not actually staying in Wigan, are we? We're staying near Stoke. We're just going to do the majority of the journey rather than the whole thing on Saturday. And then, you know, only leaves us about an hour to get there. On Sunday. Just a couple of last ones then. These are people tagging other people into the conversation, which is great. Martin Mitchell says if Ipswich fail to win tomorrow they are down. He is very correct. And then I think this is the last one. Lorne Smythe, but it's my birthday on the 13th of April. Let's hope for a win for us. If anyone sees me, give me a pat on the back. Happy birthday for tomorrow, Lorne. And fingers crossed, Norwich will give you the present that you're looking for. I still feel confident, you know, that Wigan may be good at home, and it will be difficult. It will be like Saturday night, but Wednesday night. I feel like that disappointment from Wednesday is going to fuel them further, and I think the players will be absolutely gagging to get back out on that pitch.
I think. If you spoke to them now, they're an honest enough group. They know they didn't quite hit the stride. As good as Reading were at sort of nullifying what they were trying to do, I think there would be frustration there that they didn't really grasp it in the manner they did with QPR, because that was just a dismissive swatting, get out of the way, we're coming through. So, yeah, for those reasons, for the way it ended, subject to what happens tomorrow with Leeds and Sheffield, and as I say, to bring it full circle, to appear at 10 to 12 Sunday morning, look over to the left hand side as you do when you come out of the tunnel and see that bank of Norwich support. If you're one of their players, you'll want to literally run through a wall. Absolutely. So yeah, they won't lack for motivation on every level.
Roll on Sunday. Wendy Little says, safe journey guys, and safe journey to all of you guys making the journey to Greater Manchester as we are. Keep it locked to Pinken.com ahead of kickoff, all the preview analysis columns that will follow as usual on a Saturday. And as I said, 12-page Pinken in the EDP or Evening News, which is probably ideal if you're travelling up on the coach for getting yourself filled in on the game. And the Pinken app, of course, we'll keep that updated throughout Sunday. And we'll just keep the fingers crossed that we're reporting on the Norwich win. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.